And just as I am, without one plea. Every time I saw Billy Graham on television, I was already a Christian most of the time that I watched him. I didn't watch him before I became a Christian because it convicted me. But finally, I gave in to the Holy Spirit, and then I wanted to watch. And every time he got through with a sermon, and they made that call at the end, and the choir sang, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." And I thought, Lord, if I wasn't saved, I'd get saved right now. Hallelujah. Because that loving call of God, it makes you uncomfortable until you answer that call. But aren't you glad, hallelujah, that he kept calling you and he kept calling me today? Brother Taylor, would you ask the blessing? Gift.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. Lord, help us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and to follow you daily, Lord. Lord, we come to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. Let your divine will be done in our lives. Lord, stir us up to pray and to seek your face. You said in your word, Lord God, men are always praying, not faint, Lord. Help us to continue in the word, to be faithful and true to you, Lord. Move mightily in this service today. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, to fulfill your will for our lives. Help us to please you this day, Lord God. We come against the forces of hell. We speak peace, joy, comfort, and deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. Have your way, Lord. Move in the service. As Pastor Venable, preach the word of God. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church, hearts to receive and to contain and to be obedient to your word. For obedience is better than sacrifice. We never need this present, Father, in Jesus' name. And for the glory of God, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's worship him in spirit and truth today. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I'm ready. How about you? Praise the Lord. You may be seated for a little while today. Thank you once again for being here today to worship the Lord, to be counted in that number. How many remember a song that became more of a Dixieland jazz tune than a song about a faith-based song? When the saints go marching in, they do that a lot in parades in Louisiana. But that's us. If you are a child of God, I remember at Ditter's funeral, Elizabeth Baldry's funeral, talking about the fact that precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. And I could just hear the comeback from the audience, like, Ditter? You got to give the blood of Jesus more credit. We all need to give the blood of Jesus a whole lot more credit and the grace that flows from his cross. I'm not saying Ditter wasn't a Christian and wasn't like the rest of us wanting to follow Jesus as a disciple. And I watched her grow in the Lord. Amen. She came to the Lord under our ministry. She came with Gerald and was afraid of all of us and me in particular. But she became a real defender. I would drive up when we were in near the fairground parking area. There might be a car parked and one or two guys sitting in it, and if they looked suspicious, she would go walking over there and say, "Can I help you?" And if they were there for some nefarious reason, maybe scoping out, see if a car is unlocked, a purse or something, I don't know. But anyway, after a while, sometimes they would just drive off. They didn't come for church. Don't know what they were there for, but did or let them know. You know, we don't need no security cameras. We've got Elizabeth Baldry, amen, taking care of the parking lot. She was watching the property and wanting to be a part. And when she went home, it was precious in God's sight. In our sight, death is always an enemy. And the Bible said it's the last enemy that will be destroyed is physical death. Spiritual death is already, if you're a Christian, it's already destroyed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because the resurrection and the life now lives in us. Praise God. So I'm so glad to that, to be part of that. And so when I said, precious in the sight of the Lord, or the death of his saints, I could feel that little click, 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 because we were, how many were lost before you got saved? How many are glad that that life and that past and all that stuff is not going to be remembered any longer? Give me a fist bump. Listen, you think he's just such a good guy. He was always a good guy. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me. Amen. No, I have a past too. And I am so very, very, very happy that it's gone. That he not only forgives, he forgets. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give me a fist bump over here. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to give me a fist bump? You're glad you're... Oh, I see. Anybody over here? Okay. Okay, now we're going to get down to the nitty gritty this morning. Anybody over here? Hey, boy, a double doozy. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. You know why we were fist bumping? We were fist bumping. I asked how many people are glad that your past is forgiven and forgotten. It's gone. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. A double doozy over here too. Okay. Okay. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Did we fist bump? Okay. I just want to make sure. Amen. We're going to have an altar call here in a minute. Hallelujah. I'm glad for the blood of Jesus. I'm glad for the grace of God. It has appeared to all men. It's not a cover-up for sin. It's a cleansing from sin. It's a cleansing agent. Say it with me. It's a cleansing agent. Hallelujah. Praise God. When the saints go marching in, how many kind of know that? I'm not going to sing it. Don't get scared. Amen. Oh, when the saints go marching in, or when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Paul talked about all Christians that had been born again, come to Christ as their Savior, and he said, greet the saints. He called us saints. The Bible called us saints. Now, in order to be a saint in the Catholic Church, you have to be, I think they're trying to give sainthood to, grant sainthood to you. There has to be one bona fide, clarified miracle, and they have investigators to see if you qualify a miracle, and then other stuff that they pronounce you a saint. They give you and grant you sainthood. But sainthood for the Christian is not something because some miracle has occurred that's verifiable. Well, we actually have that. I forgot about that. Amen. Salvation is a verifiable miracle. It's a work of God. Hallelujah. It's a powerful thing to be saved today. We become saints. We were sinners who become saints because of the grace of God and the shed blood of Jesus. Every Christian in here is a saint. And anyway, at Ditter's funeral, I could almost hear a little pushback when I mentioned saints. And I could hear somebody in, I couldn't hear it audibly, but I know how people are. I know Elizabeth Baldry, and she's no saint. Well, she wasn't a saint. We were not saints, but we have been saved and we have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask a sermon, in the sermon a question. That'd be a title of the sermon today if we want to put a title on it. When the saints go marching in, those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus, born again, Will you be in that number? Do you know that you will be in that number? Not just I want to be, I wish to be, but I'm going to be in that number. You need a I'm going to be faith, because when it comes down to drawing our last breath, you need to know that you are saved without any doubt. If you want the peace that comes, you need to know that. Don't let anybody shake you in that. The reason I'm titling that is because, and I told you not too long ago, a lady called that had been in church for years, grew up in Sunday school, had an occasion where she felt that she had accepted Christ, done what the Bible says we need to do, repent of our sins, and by faith receive Christ as our Savior. For we're saved by grace through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. And she had done that. But she was on YouTube looking at this one and that one and this one and that one, and they're all over the place. And someone that was part of her denominational persuasion, actually it was Baptist, and so he said that, and he was a preacher. He said that he had a dream or a vision. He saw Jesus, and Jesus told him that 98% of everyone who say they are Christians are going to hell and not to heaven. He gave him the number. 98% are going to hell. Well, it shook her. She called her dad, who was a part of a minister himself, and she said, am I really saved? And I think everybody ought to know that you're saved. Amen. That's why it said in the book of John, I've written these things unto you that you may know that you are saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. And if you don't, if there's any doubt in that, well, let's just get saved right now and get rid of the doubt. Praise the Lord. It's not quite that simple to get rid of that, because you can't come unless the Father draws you. Amen. You have to feel that conviction. You have to respond to it. Amen. By repenting of your sin. For it's not His will that any perish, but all come to repentance. So everybody's experience may be different, but all of us come to Christ because the Father draws us. And He draws us by the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not His will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Because there's no salvation if we're not willing to turn from darkness to light. You can't just get saved and stay the servant of Satan. You can't be sinlessly perfect if you are saved, but you can't serve two masters. Amen. You'll love one and hate the other, hate one or love the other, but you cannot. Jesus said it's impossible to serve two masters. Amen. And it's not a I love one and I love the other more. No, it's a love-hate relationship. You will hate one. Oh, I don't hate God. If you love the devil, it's a revolving door. Actually, it's a door. When you close the door on God, you open the door to the devil. It's not something you can't serve them both. You can't serve God and idols. You can't eat from the table, the scripture said. You can't eat from the table of God and angels and eat from the table of demons. You can't have it both ways. Amen. You have to make a choice, and God gives you the choice. And He wants you to choose Him, and He wants you to know when you choose Him that what He's done for you on the cross is enough to save your soul. And you can serve Him with everything you are and everything you have, but you cannot do anything to save yourself. He did it all. He paid it all. And He paid it in full at the cross. And He deserves us serving Him with everything we are and everything we have. The scripture said in Romans 6:16, is it Romans 6:16? I think it is. Read all of Romans, you'll run across it. I give a lot of homework. Amen. whoever you yield, your members. What shall we sin so that grace can abound? God forbid. Not the purpose of grace. Amen. But whoever you yield, your members, servants to obey. Strong word, servant, because it means slave. Everybody say slave. Paul talked about being a servant of Christ. It's doulos. Amen. It means a slave. A willing slave. Amen. I serve this master. Jesus is not just your Savior. He's your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And someone put it real plain. If he's not Lord of everything, he's not Lord of anything. Because Lord means master. And you find it beginning in the old covenant, Adonai. And it means absolute master, that we bow to him and no other. But we bow to him as our master. That's why being filled with the Holy Ghost is not just speaking in tongues. It's not just becoming part of the elite Christian community that's called Spirit-filled. Everywhere in the New Testament where it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, or being a man full of the Holy Ghost, it means filled with and controlled by. Because someone's in control. It's either you, it's either the devil, or it's Christ through the Holy Ghost. So if I speak in tongues of angels and tongues, holy tongues, and then I curse my brother, bitter and sweet water does not flow from the same fountain. You can't be double-minded about this thing. You've got to be single-minded about it. That's why the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost wasn't being controlled by him, except in one area first. And that's the tongue. But listen, what the Bible say about the tongue? The Bible said it's like the rudder on a ship. A great ship. Huge. And yet, a small part of that ship determines the way that it's going to go. And that's why the tongue, and the tongue is dangerous. The Bible said it's set on fire of heaven. Set on fire of hell. Set on fire. Oh, yeah, thank you. Brother Taylor, I'm so glad I got you here today. I almost made a boo-boo. Amen.
No, we got the brothers back there. Though.
Did you say we got the?
The brother.
Oh, I thought you said we got the boo-boo back there. Okay. No. You see the tongue, how dangerous it is? Amen. It's set on fire of hell. How many have had trouble with your tongue? We're going to have to fist bump all over this room all over again. Amen. It's because we're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. It means to be filled with and controlled by. Filled with, we're quick, if we speak in tongues, to claim, I'm Spirit-filled. Well, if you're filled, you're controlled by. If you're not controlled by, he isn't filling us. There's a part that he doesn't control. So the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost was what? Amen. It was speaking in other tongues. And it was part and parcel. People got saved. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they said, we know they're Christians, they're part of us. We know that the Gentiles, the reason the Jewish, Messianic Jewish Christians accepted Gentiles, they what made them know and accept them as fellow Christians after they had become Christian? They said, we hear them. Listen to this. This is in your Bible. I could do a Bible study. It'll take a whole lot more time. Listen, we do hear them speak in tongues even as we. What? You mean Messianic Jewish Christians got saved and got baptized in the Holy Ghost? Philip went down to Samaria, preached Christ unto them. Many came to the Lord. So many came to the Lord. Now they're saved, and they came to the Lord. They accepted Christ. They were baptized in water. And he said, listen, I can't do this. There's too many of them. I need help. He sent for the elders at Jerusalem to come down and lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, if we are filled with and controlled by, the first evidence is that is so uncontrollable in our life. For the tongue is an unruly evil, set on fire of hell, and no man can tame it. If we are not under the Holy Spirit's control, then this rudder is going to take us where God doesn't will us to go, God doesn't want us to go, and we don't need to go. Amen? It's an amazing thing. It's the least of our members, and yet it controls the direction and thereby the destiny and destination of our life. Amen. An unruly evil. What operates the tongue? What gives? Is the tongue itself got a brain? It's got a mind of its own? Is it like an alien? The alien? You ever, remember the alien? Anybody? I won't recommend the movie, but years ago I saw the movie, and there's this big old headed monster looking alien thing, and out of its mouth came this little alien. And the big thing, I don't think, bite you. Did anybody ever see that before you got saved, after you got saved? It was R-rated. It was terrible. Anyway, that's why I want to see it. And the little alien part of him come out to bite you. The big alien didn't get you. The little one did. Little one that came out of his mouth was the dangerous one. You'd think it's the great big-headed one. But it was the little one that come out of his mouth that did all the gnawing, killing. What comes out of our mouth? I didn't know I was going to preach. I got a message here that I couldn't wait to get here to preach. And here I am messing with everybody. Because we speak in tongues and then we let other things control. The same tongue that we bless with, we curse. And I'm not talking about cuss words. When we begin to want to lambast somebody, we want to get somebody, we want to tear them down, we want to malign them, we turn loose this tongue to do that. At that point, we are no longer controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. No longer. It doesn't matter if we speak in other tongues to give a message. That's a gift of the Spirit. That doesn't mean your spirit doesn't need some cleaning. That doesn't mean your heart doesn't mean some renovating. Too many people speak freely in tongues and seem, man, they're just spiritual people. I think we need to redefine what spiritual really means. Spiritual means more and more progressively like Jesus. Say it with me. More and more progressively like Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, temperance, long-suffering. Anybody got another one? Amen. Long-suffering, goodness, meekness, temperance, love, joy, and peace. Faith. It's a product. It's the reproduction of the character and nature of Jesus. So I look for more than someone speaking in other tongues for a little while. I look for some fruit in that life, and the fruit I'm looking for is the character and nature of Christ. I'm not just looking for the anointing to flow. I'm looking for something to represent Jesus. For the scripture said we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And we sometimes just hang on to that Amen. And we don't read the next verse and we lose the context and we lose what we need to get so desperately. For we know, Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. Can you say amen? And His purpose is revealed in the next verse, for whom He did foreknow. He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, I can do pretty good comparing myself to some crazy, you know, person that's trying to live a double life. I'm doing pretty good. I can stand up and say, yeah, I'm more like Jesus than that. I'm more like Jesus than this. And I'm more like Jesus than him. And I'm more like Jesus than her. Until you stand me up next to Jesus. Since we're being honest today, I've got a ways to go. Amen. In fact, since we're being honest today, I've got a long ways to go. Amen. Amen. Standing me up next to Jesus. Why is the fivefold ministry in the church? What is the ultimate purpose of the fivefold ministry? He has set in the church. Amen. It's gifts to the church, actually. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Pastor and teacher is one. Because if you're not teaching, you're not a good pastor. You can't just say, I got my double barrel shotgun loaded with Holy Ghost buckshot and I'm going to let the devil have it with both barrels. Hallelujah. Well, you can get a lot of people shouting over that, but you'll never, ever grow in the Lord. You might have a real knockdown, drag out service. I wish was there today. There was such an anointing, the preacher didn't even get to preach. And there are days like that when we're caught up in worship. But just don't get too happy about the fact that the preacher didn't get a chance to preach. Amen. It's not because I have to preach. If he wants to have a praise service, that's fine. But he told me to do something. I am charged to do something. I read my job description. Amen. Feed the flock of God over whom the Holy Ghost has made you the overseer. And I found out what the food is back in the old covenant. Jeremiah 3:15. And I'll give you pastors after my own heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. It's not general knowledge and understanding. It is specific. Whoever glories, let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. Hallelujah. My job is to get you hooked up with him by feeding you the word of the living God that reveals him. Hallelujah. Oh, friend of mine, we need more spirit-filled Christians. Why is the tongue set on fire of hell? Because the abundance of the heart, the problem goes deeper than the tongue. You know what Jesus said? If you're talking about something that would jeopardize your soul, he doesn't say to literally do this, but to show how critical and crucial it is that we go to heaven instead of hell. Jesus said, if your eye offend you, pluck it out. It'd be better to go to heaven with one eye than to go to hell with two. That's serious. He said, if your hand offend thee, cut it off. It'd better to go to heaven without a hand than to go to hell with both hands. That's strong stuff. He's showing how vitally important it is to make sure heaven is going to be your home. Amen. Because the only other place to go is hell. And hell is real. And we rarely hear about it because it's not something we want to deal with. We just want to talk about the good things I've heard preachers say that I don't talk about, oh yeah, I know it's real. I know it's in the Bible. I know it's a terrible place, but people are beat down and people are beleaguered and people are under burdens, and I don't need to be telling them about hell. Yes, you do. Because there may be somebody in that audience that is not saved. Amen. When the saints go marching in, they will not be in that number. In fact, the Bible said, straight is the gate, narrow the way that leads to eternal life, and few, F-E-W. Few there be that found. Oh, Brother Venable, you think you're part of the faithful few. I am part of the faithful few. Can you say amen? I found it. How many have found it in Jesus Christ today? And when he comes, who are with him? They that were with him were called, and they answered the call. And they were chosen. And that's what happens when you answer the call. Amen. And they were faithful. Praise God. They were faithful. They were faithful. One thing that marks you as a child of God, not that you're sinlessly perfect, but you're keeping the faith. You are faithful. So where does this unruly tongue come from? Really? Do we need to pluck it out? If your tongue offend thee, cut it off? No. It's not really a tongue problem. The tongue itself. It's a heart problem. You don't need some specialist that deals with the mouth. You need a heart doctor. You need a heart doctor. Because the abundance of the heart, the tongue, speaketh. Someone said every time you open your mouth, you let people look into your heart. And what is the heart problem? The Bible said that the heart of man after the fall is deceitful. It's desperately wicked above all things. A darkness has entered the heart. It almost sounds like one of those movies where light and darkness is in conflict. They use them as analogies and allegories to describe this conflict, but there's a spiritual base to it. It's not just fantasy or fable. Lord of the Rings, you know, there's the dark side, and or even the sci-fi stuff, there's the dark side. Well, there's a dark side. A darkness entered this world. A darkness entered the hearts of everyone on this planet. And only God can address that. By his Spirit. You can't change that in and of yourself, but he can. But when he changes your heart, he wants to work on you changing your mind. You've already been renewed in your spirit, but he said, don't let the world press you into its mold. Amen. Be no more conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm going to tell you something. If they pulled your brain out, your tongue will not say another bad thing. Amen. Amen. How many know that? Your tongue don't think. And how do you get to that place? I beseech you. Romans 12. Say it with me. I need Romans 12. For my heart condition. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What brings you into this place of deep devotion, to where you can crucify the flesh and not let it rule you and reign in you any longer? What brings you to that place? Just the command? No. It's reacting to the grace and mercy that saved you, and reacting in such a way and such a humility that it allows the Holy Spirit to move freely in you and freely in me. God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. And the only way you can achieve that kind of victory is by the grace of God. It's not in you. It's not in me to do that. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. That means the cross and Christ dying in your place. That you, out of deep devotion and gratitude, offer sacrificial language. Your body, the whole of your being. How many know the body is the container for your soul and your spirit? You offer the whole of you, that you offer your body a living sacrifice. Holy. Oh, holy. How do I offer myself holy? Well, here's the deal. Go back in the Old Testament. There was not one sacrifice, not even that spotless lamb that God would accept, because it was a spotless lamb. It wasn't the sacrifice that sanctified the altar that it was offered on. Are you ready for this? Have you got any shouting shoes? Do you own a pair? You want victory over the flesh today? God certainly wants us to have it. Amen. We need it, because the devil going to jump on you like, I start saying flee on my dog, but my dog, you can't get through the forest. He's a double. Anyway, fleas can't even get to him. Listen, the devil is looking for that attitude. I'm going to give up on God, and I'm going to give up on me. I'm going to give up on victory. Don't you give up on God, because he hasn't given up on you. And don't you give up on victory, because he's called you to victory. Can you say amen? Listen, God is so good today. It is not the sacrifice that sanctifies the altar. It is the altar that have you got shouting shoes on? I'm just asking. I got mine on. Hallelujah. I borrowed hers one day. Amen. Hallelujah. She got big feet. My feet fit right in there. I didn't need a shoehorn. No, well, they're not big feet for your height. You understand? Okay. This ought to make you want to shout. When you offer yourself sacrificial language on God's, on the altar before the Lord in a full surrender, there's a sanctifying thing that goes on between you and God. Hallelujah. That was unholy is now counted as holy. Praise God, and made holy. Because this altar, hallelujah, sanctifies the sacrifice. Offer your body, sacrificial language, a living sacrifice, holy. The moment you offer, amen, a sanctifying work is occurring. A surrendered life is now being honored by God. Offer your body, a full surrendered sacrifice, hallelujah. Holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. It goes deeper than that. Of course it's logical and reasonable. I should give Christ my all. I should do it. He gave his all for me on the cross. I'm not going to hold anything back from him. But you've got to do it willingly. It has to do a willing act of faith and devotion on our part. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto. Aren't you glad the altar sanctifies the sacrifice? Because if we had to sanctify the altar, we're in big trouble. But when you offer yourself, you're available for the Holy Spirit to do a work in your heart that will reflect in your life, that will be reflected in your life. Hallelujah. Offer your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be no more conformed to the world. And that word conformed, everybody say silly putty. Silly putty. You ever seen silly putty? You can take a mold. Well, you can take clay, soft clay for that matter. And you can press it into a mold. And it will take the shape of the mold that you're pressing it in, but it has to be pressed into it. It has no natural shape, but when you press it in a mold, it's going to take the shape of the mold. Be no more conformed to this world. It means don't let the world system and the forces that are behind it press you into its mold. Amen. But be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove. This means exemplify. What is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God? Well, what did we just read that it was? For whom he did foreknow, he did predestine. Hallelujah. To be conformed. There's that same word again. Be conformed. Don't be conformed to the world, but let God press us into the mold that he wants us molded to. And that's Jesus Christ. Amen. How many have ever failed to fit that mold? Lord, we need some help down here. Can you say amen? Be angry and sin not. I'm glad we can get angry. Because if we couldn't get angry, we wouldn't be human. We'd be some kind of robots. We are human. And we do get angry. He didn't say, never be angry. He said, be angry and don't let it lead you to sin. Jesus got angry. But it was righteous indignation. He was perfect. He walked into the temple. He saw they turned it into a... Can you imagine what he would do in some churches today? He'd tear that place up. Amen. Tear some people up too. He braided a whip. This was not some outburst of temper tantrum. This was God in the flesh saying this is unholy and unacceptable. He braided a whip. He took his time and took pieces of rope until he formed them into a whip. And he took that whip and he went down where all the money changers were in the house of God, and he kicked over their tables and threatened them with the whip. And he chased a bunch of jaybirds out of God's house. Can you say amen? Jesus, lowly Jesus, meek and mild. Listen, he became that meek and mild, lowly one in order to pay our sin debt. But make no mistake about it, he was God in the flesh. He was not some poor old pasty-faced candidate for vitamin B12 shots. Can you say amen? What they saw in that temple and what they feared in that temple was not just his physique. Amen. They knew there was something holy happening, and God was mad, and they were not going to stand up against him. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully today. We need to be conformed to the image of his son. The fivefold ministries are not just build your faith so you can get stuff without changing your heart. Can you say amen? The fivefold ministry is not just to get you saved and leave you under the power of the devil and under the influence of our fallen nature, the flesh. S-A-R-X it is called. It's a word that just sounds bad. Sarks. Your sarks is getting the best of you. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. It's close. We got some scholars in here. Listen. Amen. It's bad stuff. It's bad, bad stuff. You can't conform it. It will not be conformed. It's unconformable. You have to be transformed because you can't conform to what God wants for you and be what he wants you to be and be what you want to be if you're born again. To follow Jesus doesn't mean just to know what your teacher has said. It's to become what your teacher is, the example that he set. It's more than just a scholarly thing. It's more than giving mental consent. How many's ever lost it? Let's get real honest before we leave here. I mean, lost the victory, let the tongue just go. Let an attitude just get the best of you. I've often told people, if I ever lose the victory, look out. I got one good fight in me. One left. I got one good fight. I know I'm small and I know I'm old, but I got one left. And I'm saving it for somebody special. And it's not you. Don't. I'm looking for an amen. Don't you have anybody special that if you got some fight left in you? You got any left in you? Oh yeah. He listen, this mild natured guy right here intimidates high school students. You think he can't get upset because he's mild mannered? And he's raising his eyebrow. I can get upset. I'll show you. Of course we can. Of course we can. We all can. We have a battle going on. It's a good fight. Amen. The fight between flesh and spirit is a good fight. It shows that you're not the old man made over. You're not the old man made better. You're a new creation in Jesus Christ, and His seed, His nature, God's nature remains in us that we sin not. It's against our new nature. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. When God goes to work in the heart that has been fully surrendered to Him, the life is going to take a brand new direction, because we're going to cooperate with the Word of God. We're going to cooperate with the Spirit of God. Amen. We're not going to grieve the Holy Spirit. We're not going to quench Him when He comes to convict us. We're going to say, you're right and I'm wrong. Help me to be right with God. Can you say amen? When you get to that place, it's going to turn the Holy Ghost loose in you. And when He gets turned loose, there's a product of His free activity within you. And it's love, joy, peace, kindness, temperance, faith, meekness. Oh, meekness. When I went in to take a chaplain's place at the jail system and preached in the jail system, taught in the jail system, I remember how they broke me in. I thought I came there to observe, because I'd never preached in a, you know, in a totally different environment, and I wanted to see how they did it, and you know, they kind of eased me into it. But instead, the guy that was filling in for the guy, they ran out because he took advantage of the, you know, I told you the story. The sheriff said he would put him in jail if he ever come back in Hillsborough County. And they had been hurt and they'd been disillusioned. And anyway, this guy said, he said, the scripture says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He's teaching on the Beatitudes. I said, oh, that's good. Good stuff. Immediately a guy in the back lifted his hand up. He said, if I was meek in here, I'd be dead. And he said it with a snarl. And so the guy says, Brother Venable, would you like to answer this question? And I thought, no, not really. I didn't say that, of course. I just said, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. He's there. He's there. Amen. And suddenly it popped into my mind. I had been reading about it in the way we discipline ourselves, and what God helps us to be disciplined, therefore disciples of Jesus. It takes a disciplined life to be a follower of Jesus. So I remembered how they trained those horses in the Middle Eastern areas that were part of the lead of armies in battle. So that even if there was cannon fire and gunfire and chaos, they would be completely under the control of their rider. They wouldn't turn around and go the other way. They wouldn't throw their rider and just take off on their own. They would be so disciplined that in the face of cannon fire, in the place of gunfire and the chaos of battle, they would be faithful to their rider. they would hook them up with the soldier that's going to ride. Or sometimes it was the banner, the one who carried the banner out front, which was an encouragement to everybody else to follow and to charge. I remember the movie, The Charge of the Light Brigade, and there were these Arabian horses, and the cannons were firing, all of the chaos of war, and yet those horses were dead on charging. You know how they trained them? Number one, they had them bond to their rider. And you know what we need to do? We need to bond to our master. We need to fall so deeply in love with Jesus that we don't play church no more. So deeply in love with Jesus that we come to the point. Are you ready for a scripture that's going to convict us all, including me? Despise even the garment spotted. Say it out loud. Despise even the garment
spotted by the flesh.
Spotted by the flesh. Despise that in us when it rises up. You'll never deal with it if you pet it. You've got to despise it and say, I hate that. I hate it when I lose my temper. I hate it when I speak ill against my brother or my sister. I hate it when I try to tear somebody down because I'm mad at them. I hate it. I despise it. You're in a position to do something about that. Offer your body a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. And let God do a work in your heart. Bitter and sweet water doesn't flow from the same fountain. Several sermons we could get out of that, Brother Taylor. Remember when they came to a well and they're all thirsty, but the water was poison. What do we do? That poison water in the well. We're going to die if we don't drink, and die if we do drink. We're driven to drink, but we can't drink it without dying. Get a piece of wood, figurative, of a wooden cross that Jesus would be crucified and shed his blood on. There's nothing that'll purify poison from water. And just a piece of wood threw by faith into the well. But when it is figurative and represents the wood that Jesus would be impaled on, the blood that he shed, it took all the poison out of the water. And if you want all the mean out of you and me, it's because we're reacting to the cross on which he died with a deep enough devotion to say, I don't want to be like that. Brother Venable, I just can't help myself. Well, of course you can't. Nobody's asking you to help yourself. People are asking, God is asking us to give our body a living sacrifice and let him begin to change us. I had a temper. James said, who is the two disciples, sons of thunder? Sons of thunder, they called them. Because they ready to fight. God took those sons of thunder, turned them into sons of God. Hallelujah. Took stubborn, vacillating Peter, who said with his tongue, I never knew him, to keep from the persecution and the possibility of the same kind of death. Swore with an oath. It wasn't a four-letter word that he uttered. It was worse. He swore by Jehovah. He swore by Jah. He swore by God, which a Hebrew or anyone else is not supposed to do. I never knew that man, Jesus. And you know what changed all of that? What changed all of that is when the man that he betrayed, the man that he swore he never knew, after the cross, He's out fishing. He feels dejected. He feels like there's no hope for me. There's no help for me. What he must think of me. Jesus was so concerned about his guilt and his shame. Not wanting to get him or say good enough for you like we do. Amen. He was so concerned about him on resurrection morning. On resurrection morning, he told those that were first to the tomb, go and tell my disciples I'm alive. But don't just generally tell them. There's one specific disciple that is hurting. His heart is aching. He has failed and he's in danger of just giving in and giving up and just going his own way. And I can still forgive him. I can still restore him, and I can still use him, hallelujah, to feed my lambs and feed my sheep. Go tell the disciples, and who did he single out? Who was hurting the most? Who was the most verbal and vocal in their denial? Simon Peter. We love Paul. I mean, we revere Paul, but we love Peter. Because we know if you can forgive and restore him and use him, there's hope for the rest of us down here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm alive. Because when he hears that, he's going to know there's hope for him. Because he had watched Jesus operate. And he'd watched Jesus forgive. And he'd watched Jesus restore. Hallelujah. He knew his kindness. He knew his mercy. He knew his heart. And he knew there was hope for him. But he went fishing and thought, but he's dead. No, he's alive. Well, there's hope. But I'm going back to my vocation. I'm going back fishing. He couldn't possibly use me. Even if he forgave me, he couldn't use me again. I'm disqualified. I have no right to even think about it. They toiled all night, didn't catch anything. They came hungry and fatigued after all night drawing their nets. And there is a man that's got a fire going, and the smell of fish is wafting out. Somebody is cooking. Everybody say a mess of fish up on the bank. Oh, the Bible is a wonderful book. We find out some things about ourselves and about our needs and about our God. That's why Bible study. Yes, I could say this morning, we could have a service. I got some songs that'll get you out of your seat if you're still alive. Amen. Praise God. And so has He. We could just put one of those songs on and have a Holy Ghost hoedown. But you need to know something when you leave here. Because we got a flesh to fight. We got a world system that's against us. We got a formidable foe in the devil. And we got a weak place called our flesh. Can you say amen? But we got a God that's called us to victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got a preacher that's got it. Amen. But I have to keep offering myself. How often did Paul do that? Did he hit the altar every service? No. He said, I sanctify myself daily. I do not fight as one that beateth the air. I'm not a shadow boxer. I've got an opponent, and I know who it is. It's a devil. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I do. Oh, yeah, it is the devil. But he's using something that if you take that away from him, he can't use it anymore. And when? Most people have a problem with their flesh. They go to a conference where they're teaching you to take authority over the devil. They never teach you to crucify the flesh. And the whole victory over the devil reads like this. Submit yourself. Does that sound like offering your body a living sacrifice? Bowing to God? Not just learning how much authority you have over the devil, but learning how to take authority over your flesh. Submit yourself unto God, and then your authority will work. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oh, what a word in the Greek, Bible study scholars here. Run as in panic. How many's ever had the devil come against you? How many would like to see the backside of the devil? Hallelujah. Running from you. Running from you. Running from you. Instead of coming at you. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee in panic. Because God will stand up with you. And God will stand up for you. Hallelujah. But if we don't get a hold of this, we give place to the devil. The word in the Greek is terra firma. It's ground. It's deeding a lot to him. We were poor. I grew up poor. We grew up poor. We bought a piece of property from someone who held the mortgage. We, my mom and dad and me, I was 7 before I got cancer of the blood and, you know, almost died, and but God healed me. But anyway, we bought a Jim Walter home. I don't know if they're still in business. You might remember Jim Walter Homes in Tampa. If you had a piece of property paid for, and they would show you that we paid off the property to that guy, show him, he takes the deed to the property. He'll build you a little wooden house on it, made out of wood, roof, everything. He won't, finish it in, but it'll be there. You have to get an electrician and a plumber and wall boards and everything. The roof is on. It's dried in. So we bought a Jim Walter home on that property. And we hadn't paid. Jim Walter now has the deed. If we default, he can take the whole thing. He's got a house to sell and the property that it's on. He can't lose. When you give place to the devil, he will build a stronghold. If you let anger get the best of you, there'll be a root of bitterness, and it will spring up in your heart. And the Apostle Paul said, watch out for that, lest there be in any of you a root of bitterness springing up to give you trouble. You can't play. The devil's playing for keeps. You cannot play games with this. You can't let your pride or stubbornness or anger defeat what God is wanting to do in the lives of his people. There are people right now that are in desperate need of forgiveness from God. And he said, if you don't forgive me, when you stand praying for that need to be met, you need more than to keep building your faith stronger and stronger. That's what's wrong with so many conferences, the believer's authority. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, believe, have faith. That's all that you need. It all begins with the heart and the condition of the heart. When you stand praying, if you have aught against anyone for any reason, forgive. Who said that? Pastor Venable, he's hard, man. I don't like to go to his church. Of course, no, it's not Pastor Venable. Don't shoot the messenger. Your Lord, your Master, your Sovereign, your King said that. Is he your master? That's the question. Is he your Lord? Is he Lord? Of course he is. But is he your Lord? Is he my Lord? Do I bow to him or do I bow to my flesh? To the attitudes and platitudes of this world. To their way of doing things, which behind it all is the devil. The wisdom that comes from above, the Bible said, is first pure. It's coming from above. Number 2, it's peaceable. And number three, it's easy to be entreated. You can talk to somebody, have a conversation without fussing, and get things made right with that wisdom. Amen. You can do things like, I know I hurt you and I hurt you bad and I know you're upset, but would you please forgive me? And if he's got the wisdom from above and I'm operating in it, we have just put the devil out of business. Can you say amen? But the wisdom that comes from beneath, from this old fallen world, is diametrically different. It's earthy. It's of this old fallen world. It's sensual. It's of the flesh. The sarks, the fallen nature. And it is, oh wait a minute, we're not even done. It's bad enough. Earthy, sensual, and devilish. It's devilish. It gives place to the devil himself. You say, Brother Venable, I'd never worship a devil. Then don't bow to him any longer. Don't give any place to him any longer. If you don't want to join the first church of Satan, join the church of the living God. Hallelujah. And put the devil out of business and get him under your feet and off your back. Oh, don't patty cake. Give him a clap offering if you're going to clap at all. I didn't come here today to play games, and I didn't come to play church. I came to see God's people set free. Hallelujah. Amen. The freest people in the world ought to be you and me. For the Son has set us free. And the truth will keep us free. So we're bottom lining this entire service, and it's taken a turn. It's taken a turn here today. I preached the gospel for 53 years. I've watched all of this stuff work, or I've watched it fail. I've watched tongue-talking people with gifts of the Spirit shipwreck, and talking in tongues and having gifts of the Spirit, they were not controlled by the Spirit. Jesus was not Lord. He was the Lord, but he wasn't their Lord. And speaking in tongues doesn't circumvent that fact and that reality. They had the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit didn't have them. Amen. They were not controlled by the Holy Spirit. The sons of God are led, not forced. They're led by the Spirit of God. And why are we easily led? Because we love the Lord so much for what he's done for us on the cross. We get rid of that hard, stubborn, unsurrendered heart. And we just melt before the Lord. That's how you're led. A missionary to the Middle East. He said he saw a man, he was talking to a shepherd about sheep. He wanted to learn more about true shepherds and sheep and the analogies in Scripture. He said he saw a man, and he was dragging a sheep and hitting it with a stick to get it to go. Dragging it and hitting it with a stick. And he said, that shepherd right there, why is he hitting that sheep and dragging that sheep? I thought the sheep follow the shepherd. Why is he dragging it and hitting it? You may think I'm dragging you and hitting you. I'm not. I'm telling you, amen. I'll tell you who that man was. You want me to tell you who he was? What the shepherd told him? That is not a shepherd. He's wearing the same, you know, robe and everything, but he's not a shepherd. That sheep has been sold to the butcher. If he was a shepherd and the sheep knew their shepherd, they would be following him willingly, offer your sacrifice, your body a living sacrifice. It's a willing devotion. When you have to beat and drag, it's taking it to slaughter. Amen. I don't want to be in the hands of the butcher wanting my destruction. I want to be in the loving hands of my King, my God, my Sovereign. Amen. Leading me. That's why the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Let's get rid of this worldly wisdom. This wisdom that is from beneath is earthy, sensual, devilish. For where, and Paul said, because there is among you envy and strife and division, that's what it produces in the body of Christ. Whole churches have split over that kind of thing. Envy, strife, and division. There is confusion and every evil work. That means the devil has been invited into our heart and is using us as a pawn against each other. Amen? Do you hear what? Every evil work, we've put out the welcome mat. We've opened the door. We've given place. What do you think he's going to do with us? He's going to use us to hurt the cause of Christ when we should be devoted to helping it. And some of the people that do these things say they're Christian and followers of Jesus, and they'll get down on you for what they decide is sin in your life and nail you for it. But they continue in this attitude. And they shipwreck, and they hurt, and they harm. A lady came to me one day. I was working downstairs. Lady came to the door after years and years and years. I had already forgiven because I can't afford not to. I don't carry it. I got to get rid of it. Anyway, because I don't want to lose my joy and my peace. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Knocked on the door, and I opened the door, and I said, "Sister so-and-so, haven't seen you in years. It's good to see you." But there was a serious look. Very serious look. "Brother Venable, if..." And I thought, oh yeah, here we go. Here we go. "If I've ever done anything to hurt you or the ministry." And I thought, if you didn't, what's this all about? If you did, own it. Own it! Doesn't that sound humble? If I did anything to hurt, did you or didn't you? Own it. If you want forgiveness, own it before God. You can't get forgiven by saying, "If I did something wrong, Lord, I sure am sorry." You know what you did wrong. Tell him you're sorry and get forgiveness for it. Amen. I've already forgiven, but I thought even if I hadn't forgiven, I wouldn't forgive this. Because the same pride and stubbornness and attitude was still operating. "If I did anything wrong, would you please forgive me?" And I just did not want to say what I'm saying now and go into a mini Bible study. I said, "It's over. It's done. I forgave you years ago. And that worked." But I thought, if I was seeking forgiveness, I would say, "Share, bear," before the bear part comes out. Can you say amen? Mama bear. I would say, "Share bear, I have demeaned you. I have maligned you. And I have asked, God knows I have, and I've asked God to forgive me. And now I'm asking you, will you please forgive me? I am so very sorry." Amen. And that old bear just start purring like a pussycat. Do you hear what I'm telling you? How crucial is this? If you don't forgive men, neither will the Father forgive you. Amen? Is that serious? You can't pray. You start the pattern prayer, the template for prayer. Forgive us our trespasses at contingent, caveat, as we forgive. What if we don't forgive? Just go to a faith conference. Just go to a conference where they talk about the authority of the believer, how to reach out into nothing and grab yourself a Bentley by faith. Come on, I'm serious. And let's, whatever we do, let's don't deal with the heart conditions in that room. The heart of man is deceitfully wicked, desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? God does. And He loves us anyway. And He's willing to do a work in that heart. What He does initially is take out the heart of stone, the old stubborn, hardened heart, and put back in a willing heart, a heart of flesh. Can you say amen? That's the new creation right there. Hallelujah. 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 So there are people in this room, if you're having a problem with your tongue, you have a heart condition. And God wants to do more than get you to hold your tongue. God wants to give you some help for your heart today. That's why David said in Psalm 51, what a repentance prayer. Wash me with hyssop and I shall be clean. In fact, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Hallelujah. And take not, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't let me grieve the Holy Spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Hallelujah. And restore unto me what all of that is costing me, and that's the joy of my salvation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Then something is going to happen to those who see what you're doing in me. How many want to win souls? How many want to impact others for Christ? How many don't care? Give a hoot. Anybody? I'm going to ask you one more time. How many want to win somebody to Jesus? How many want to be a light in this sin-darkened world? Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me and restore unto me the joy of salvation. Then I become the light of the world. Then I can have an impact. Then I will have an influence. Then sinners will be converted unto thee and transgressors will learn your way. Amen. Woo!
Help it.
Hallelujah. Amen. I just can't help it because I still have the joy of my salvation. And I'm not going to let the devil steal it. Glory be to God. Christians need to grow up. Christians need to get right with God. Christians need to get real so that the world will take us seriously. Can you say amen? How many in this room would say, I want to take a step of faith to offer myself anew and afresh in a deeper devotion to the purpose of God in my life to make me more like Jesus? I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only God can do this work, but He can do it, and He does it well. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet today. God saw the hands that are in here. One day, you will need God to come through for you. The day is coming. The day is coming. One day, you're going to need mercy from God. One day you're going to need the sufficiency of His grace. One day. One day. And you need to be a merciful person to obtain it. And you need to give grace to others. Forgive them. For whose sake? For Jesus' sake. Not because they earned it. You didn't earn forgiveness either. The only reason you're saved today is for Jesus' sake. So if you need this cleansing in this song right now, I want you and God to do some business together. We've taken the extra time like we always do because this is a desperate need in all of our lives today. There's no exceptions. There's no exemption. Let's do business with God in this song.